This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated. So, are you blessed? Well, I guess people would answer that question in different ways, wouldn't they? I mean, if someone compares themselves with those who live in third world nations, I guess we'd conclude we're very blessed, aren't we? On the other hand, if we compare ourselves with the richest 1% in this nation who are so often being vilified today, well, then I guess we might be tempted to complain that we don't have our fair share. In fact, our gospel reading for today is often misunderstood as though Jesus were engaging in class warfare. Jesus says that the poor are blessed, but then Jesus curses the rich by saying, "Woe to them." Now, at first glance, it sounds like Jesus is saying that God's love for you is based on your economic status. In other words, if you're middle class or below, well, then God probably loves you. But if you're upper middle class or above, well, then woe to you. However, there's a huge problem with that way of interpreting today's gospel reading. First of all, as we will see in a bit, this is not what Jesus means. Secondly, if Jesus is saying that the rich of this world are under God's curse, then let me tell you, every single one of us here today is in big trouble. You see, even the poor people in this United States are rich compared to many people in this world. I remember a friend of mine telling me about a time that he was sitting in a college class waiting for the professor to begin his lecture. He and his friends were complaining about the fact that they didn't have enough money to buy pizza that night, and they were feeling sorry for themselves because they thought they were poor. And indeed, they didn't have a whole lot of money. Well, the professor overheard what they were saying, and he responded, "You should be ashamed of yourselves. Maybe you don't have enough money for pizza tonight, but the fact is, you are the rich people of this world." You see, my friends, if we Americans compare ourselves with the millions of people who live in destitute poverty around the world, the fact is even the poor in the United States are rich compared to many others. So if Jesus is saying that the rich are under God's curse, well then all of us here in America are in huge trouble. However, you don't have to worry, because in today's gospel reading, Jesus is not engaging in class warfare. In fact, if you study scripture, you will find that there were poor people who were unbelievers, and there were rich people who were sincere believers. In our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul teaches that it is not money itself that is evil, but the love of money that is evil. And you know, a poor person can love money as much as a rich person. In addition, in our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul does not condemn those Christians who were rich. Instead, what does he tell them? He tells them to not put their hope in wealth, which can be here today and gone tomorrow. And he also tells them to be generous and to be willing to share. In other words, we Americans who are the rich people of this world, we should not put our hope in money, and we should be generous and willing to share. But having said all that, it's not a sin to be rich. In fact, God wants us to enjoy what He has given us, and even more, He wants us to use our wealth to support the mission of Christ's church, as well as helping those who are truly needy. Now, with all that understood, let's examine our gospel reading for today. In today's reading, Jesus takes His 12 apostles, and He has them join a crowd of his other disciples, although there may have been some unbelievers there as well, listening to what Jesus was saying. Now, most of the people who were there knew that Jesus had the power to work miracles. And Jesus did use his miracles to heal many of them, as our gospel reading tells us. However, Jesus also knows that they need much more than just physical healing. And so Jesus begins to teach them. Here's what Jesus says to those who believe in him, but he's also talking to any unbelievers who may be there. And I want you to listen closely, because the words I'm about to read apply to us as believers. Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets." So what does Jesus mean when he says that we are blessed if we are poor and hungry and weeping? Well, what we need to understand is that these words have both a spiritual and a physical application. From a spiritual point of view, the poor are those who know they are unworthy sinners who have nothing to offer God for salvation. Therefore, we're blessed because through faith in Christ, the kingdom of God is ours. In other words, through faith in Christ, we have forgiveness of sins purchased for us by Christ's own death in our place. Also, from a spiritual point of view, the hungry are those who crave God's mercy, who crave His love, who crave the life that only He can give. Such people will not be disappointed. Jesus says, "You will be satisfied." Also, from a spiritual point of view, those who weep are those who grieve over their sins and the damnation they deserve. Jesus says that you will laugh with joy, because on the final day, you will not be damned. Instead, on the final day, you will enter eternal life with God because of Jesus and His saving work for you. And so these words, poor, hunger, weep, they describe us Christians whom the Spirit moves to grieve over our sins and trust in Christ for the mercy, love, and eternal hope that we so desperately need. However, these words also have a physical application. You see, many of those disciples in our gospel reading were literally poor, hungry, and weeping. Some of them didn't have much to begin with. Others would eventually lose their job and home and family and even their lives because they were following Jesus. For example, Jesus says, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets." Here Jesus reminds us that if we are persecuted for following Jesus, even though we may be weeping and depressed, spiritually we can rejoice. We can rejoice because we have an eternal hope that can never be taken away, not even by death itself. So we American Christians really need to remember this. Not only do many Christians in the world today live in poverty, but on top of that, some Christians have lost job and home and family and even their lives simply because they trust in Jesus and strive to live for Him. But they still rejoice because they know that their sins are forgiven and they know that they have a certain eternal hope in Christ. But you know, it's hard for us Christians in America to relate to this, isn't it? Not only do we have an abundance of physical blessings, but usually we don't have to worry about losing our job or our home or our family or even our lives simply because we follow Jesus. Most American Christians don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder, huh, am I going to be killed today because I believe in Jesus? But that's all the more reason for us to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. We American Christians must remember what true blessing really is. You see, even though we can be thankful to God for all our earthly comforts that we have in America, we need to remember that our real need is forgiveness and eternal life with God through faith in Jesus. On top of that, we American Christians must realize that the day may come when we will be put to the test. I don't know when that may be, but I know the day may come. The day may come when we may have to sacrifice much, even face persecution for following Jesus. During such times, we're going to be tempted big time. We're going to be tempted to turn away from Christ. We're going to be tempted to trust in earthly things that can't save us. Jesus knows that the believers back then would be tempted to do that. He also knows that we will be tempted to do that. And so Jesus gives us this loving warning. He says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." Now, once again, these words have both a spiritual and a physical application. What's the spiritual application? Well, when Jesus talks about being rich or being well fed or laughing, he is referring to a proud, self-righteous spirit that does not grieve over sin and sees no need for Jesus and his word. If we go through life celebrating our sin, if we go through life ignoring God and our need for Him, we might think of ourselves as being rich and well fed and laughing because we're having a good time in life, but we don't realize how destitute we really are. Now, there's a physical application to these words too. The physical application of the words rich, well fed, laugh, is that we are tempted to put our hope in material things. Even though money and all the physical blessings we have are gifts from God, they can so easily become idols. Jesus knows that we can easily be tempted to put our hope in material things and rely on them rather than trusting in God to care for us. Sadly, such unbelievers end up conforming to the ways of the world. They are never persecuted for their faith in Jesus because sadly they've turned their backs on Him and they agree with the world and they say what people want to hear. Some people might claim to be Christians, but they're not. Such false Christians wouldn't think twice about denying Christ altogether in the face of persecution. Now, I'm saying all this because it could so easily happen to any one of us if we take our focus off of Christ. I'm not immune either. In the midst of persecution, how would I do? I hope and pray I would be faithful. But I know that I could just as easily be like the Apostle Peter, who the night before Jesus was betrayed said, "Jesus, I'm willing to die for you," but when push came to shove, he denied Jesus 3 times. Of course, we know he was still a Christian because he was convicted of his sin and he came back to Jesus for forgiveness and the strength to live a new life. The point I'm making is this. We can't do it by our own strength. We in America, we believers, we need to be focusing on Jesus and making him and his word a priority in our lives. Because even if we're not persecuted for our faith, although that day may come, the fact is all the blessings that God has given us in this country, and we can be thankful for them, the devil could so easily use those things to distract us from Jesus and lead us away from him. As I mentioned, the Apostle Peter thought he would be strong, but he ended up falling because he took his focus off of Christ. We need to remember this as Christians in America. We're no better than Peter. We have been given many earthly blessings. But you see, Jesus knows that these earthly blessings could easily turn into idols that take our focus off of him. That would take our focus off of his mercy, love, and life. Therefore, because Jesus knows this, he warns us with these woes. He warns us with these woes so that we will humble ourselves before God and put our faith in something real. And that something real, my friends, is Jesus. My friends, it's so easy for us to throw a pity party sometimes. But what you need to remember this morning is that because of Jesus, you are blessed. Whatever circumstances you may be going through in life, through faith in Christ, you are blessed. It doesn't matter if you are homeless, sick, starving, or at death's door. It doesn't matter if you are mocked and persecuted because you trust in Jesus and strive to live for him. You are blessed. Because Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You are blessed because your sins are forgiven and you have the certain hope of eternal life in God's love. Now, of course, we Christians in America can continue to enjoy the abundance of earthly blessings God is so mercifully giving us. We can enjoy these gifts and we should be thankful for them. But we must never forget Paul's words of wisdom from 1 Timothy. Listen again. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Did you hear that? We rich American Christians need to remember that we're blessed, but I'm not talking about our physical blessings. We have been given the life that is truly life. And we should hang on to that with all our might. Yes, we can enjoy God's physical blessings, but we also, out of love for Jesus, get to support Christ Church, and we get to give to others because we know that we have a treasure that is far greater than earthly wealth. Finally, if the day does come when we Christians in America are persecuted for our faith. And I have to admit from the look of things in this nation, that day could come sooner rather than later. But if that day does come, if the day comes when we Christians in America end up losing job and home and family and even life simply because we trust in Jesus and live for him, well then, we need to remember Jesus' words to us. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.